So the parable of the banquet you just heard, it presents a stark reality. So what do we have? The invited were rejected, the common were sought, and the marginalized were compelled into the kingdom of God. That's the way it plays out in the gospel. Jesus, at the time, rejected the religious leaders, sought the common Jews, and then reached out to the Gentiles through the apostles. The stark reality is a nagging message to us that our sometimes smug notion of entitlement, perhaps because we think we have the truth, the right politics, the right worship, and are better than the world, maybe isn't such a safe position after all, right? God cannot be mocked. As the first reading says in 1 John, he wants love not in word nor in tongue, but in deed and truth. Weren't the invited to the banquet loving in word and in tongue? But the inviter loved in deed and truth. Is it any wonder that our Lord decided to put new wine into new wineskins? And for what great prizes did the invited at the last minute reject a great banquet that was prepared for them for free? What was the treasure? A farm, 5 oxen, and a recent marriage. Quite a bounty, wouldn't you say? The farm represents the pride of dominion, the sin of the first man who wanted absolute dominion over his life, right? The 5 oxen, from the fathers of the church, they represent the 5 senses, or better, the yoke of the 5 senses. It represents men without faith, who plod along and till the soil, the earth, and fail to look to heaven, right? It is the sentence of the godless. The wife, well, in a figurative way, it represents embracing the pleasures of the flesh. And for what great prizes do the invited today find an excuse not to attend the great banquet? The farm. Lord, I must attend to my great business affairs, or my hobbies, or my pursuits. Mass can't interfere with my work, my leisure, my armchair football game, my sports league. The 5 oxen. I enjoy my computer games, my online pornography, my social media, far too much. The wife. Well, frankly, it may be very good to attend more to one's spouse. Perhaps it is realizing that he or she deserves your spiritual best. As St. Thomas says, the formal element of marriage is the union of 2 souls in highest friendship. We hope that is achieved. There's 3 ironies in the gospel. The first is that the proud ones likely already promised themselves the kingdom of God. That's the sense of entitlement. Therefore, they make the banquet the last fruits rather than the first fruits. It reminds me of Jacob's ladder from the Old Testament, which one and the same ladder is a place of exaltation or humiliation. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. Ascent and descent on Jacob's ladder means that we go downward when we exalt ourselves and rise when we are humbled. The ladder represents our life in this world, which our Lord erects to heaven when our heart is humbled. So that's the first irony. The invited had promised it themselves, to themselves the kingdom of God?
Who needed a banquet?
The second irony is that in the parable, the giver of the banquet in the third invitation does not say invite them, but compel them to come in. Some are called and scorn the invitation. Others are called and they come. Yet others are not even said to be invited, but are compelled to enter. Perhaps compelled by the attractiveness of the banquet treasure. The first invitation, they are called and refuse to come who receive the gift of understanding, but don't go on to add good works to their understanding. In the second invitation, they are invited and come who have received the grace of understanding, perfected with good works. They have become poor to the world and rich in the spirit. The third invitation, the interesting one. Some are called in such a manner as to be compelled, for they understand the good they must do, but they neglect to do it. They strive to attain earthly glory and fail. And when they see themselves defeated in their ambitions by the opposition of the world, they're brought to remember what they owe to their Maker, so that in the shame and humility they turn to Him, whom in their pride they had abandoned for the world. Right? It's the stuff of conversions. They're coming home. They went elsewhere. They failed. And in that failure, they're reminded of home, of what was original. And so they come back. The third irony is that perhaps the first gift of the banquet giver is the greatest and most necessary, the freedom to accept the invitation or to reject it. Notice the banquet giver doesn't compel the farmer, the oxen owner, or the married man to attend the banquet. He doesn't compel them. He compels others through the beauty, but he doesn't compel those original invitees, right? They receive the respect of having to accept the consequences of their actions. So what do we do in our daily lives to descend the ladder of humility, to rise to the great banquet, and not love the world, to become poor to the world? What can we do day to day in our somewhat ordinary existence? Well, I think it's just a few quick things to simplify our lives, right? We don't need the sixth car, the first sink, and the ninth house. It really isn't that great. It just isn't. Maybe one house, one car, normal things, perfectly fine. To at least make God our leisure, our first fruits, even if we can't give Him all the hours of our daily occupation. We all have jobs to do. We go out and we do them. When we come home, what's our first leisure? I think it should be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be our hobby, our leisure, and our joy. Third, to eschew the high places of honor, or if we must accept such a place of honor because we have been chosen for it, and in humility we accept it, to at least eschew it in our hearts. We don't need honors. They're fleeting, right? All glory is fleeting. Thus passes, you know, the beauty of the world. And lastly, moderation. Seek it in all things, in politics, in discipline, in pleasure, etc. Seek the lonely middle. The middle of little notoriety. The middle that doesn't allow for the cheap pleasure of extremism. It's a hard road to be in the middle. As we celebrate the Eucharist today, we ask our Lord to compel us to the banquet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.